This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. A wide variety of community organizations are coming together this week to celebrate the people of La Crosse. With food, music, dance, and theater, local leaders hope the event will bring people together to celebrate the many cultures of the La Crosse community. Joining us now to talk about People Fest are John David, director of the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance, Daryl Ferguson, a member of the Enduring Families Project, Ricardo Acevedo from the Immigration Task Force, and Changchor Lee, board advisor with the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency. So first, Ricardo, can you talk a little bit about what is People Fest?
People Fest is an attempt to create a more welcoming community, a community of respect and inclusion. And we hope that this is a foundation of a welcoming community that develops relationships between different people's cultures.
Yeah. And Changchor, who's going to be at the event and what can people see and eat maybe at the event as well?
Yeah, I think we'll, Hmong food. I don't know what choice could be there, but especially Hmong food. Example like egg roll or something like that. And I think we'll have our youth group will be there dancing. It's, kind of entertainment and dance group and some other culture show too. So Hmong culture.
Yeah, John, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about where this idea came from to have an event with, different community groups.
This interest in this topic's been in the community for a few years now, where enough of us work with our different purposes and goals to better our community. And it was specifically January 2017 where the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance, which welcomes people from all faiths but also people without any religious affiliation to do work in bettering the community, especially for people most marginalized or displaced. And at that assembly, the number one issue that came up was there were just under 100 participants who were there for the afternoon, and they identified becoming a more welcoming community as the number one issue they were interested in, where over a third of the people said, this is the biggest concern I have for our, and wish I have for our community. And also, this is something I would apply my resources or volunteer time or whatever toward working with. And so it was at the end of last year that also there had been meetings every 3 months with the mayor, with area faith leaders, and the most popular issue people wanted to work with in the faith community that they expressed to the mayor is becoming a more welcoming community. And so it was at the end of last year that our immigration task force began to work on organizing an event like this and filling in, as people are talking about, the kinds of performances, food, and information booths from a variety of local agencies to have a celebration of who we are and hopefully become a more understanding and inclusive community as a result.
Daryl, I wonder if you could talk about, John started to touch on this, but, why the community of La Crosse really needs an event like this?
Well, I think as a native of Chicago, Chicago is a very mixed bag. There's a lot of communities there. There's Italian town, Greek town. You can't go anywhere in Chicago without finding some kind of a culture. We don't really have that here. This isn't something that I have noticed here in La Crosse. When Denise approached me, her question was, would you like to participate in something that celebrates the African-American community? And in that process, I began to learn more about various key figures in La Crosse's history who were participants in the development of what we now have as a culture, politically, academically, athletically. My character is George Edwin Taylor. He was the first African-American to run for president. And this was in 1904. And I work in a school, a high school, and many of the educators that I talked to did not know that. And I specifically addressed history teachers and asked, have you heard of this person, first of all? And the common response was no. So when I explained who he was and his background and the fact that he grew up and he lived and worked here in La Crosse, they were amazed. Then they wanted to know more about other people who came from La Crosse. So it's, as you said, it's an inclusive environment. There are more people as a community when it comes to the marginalized group that we need to look at and say, we can include these as well.
So you're talking about the Enduring Families Project. And I just wonder if you can talk about, you know, how people will be able to learn about this project at PeopleFest.
Well, you'll recognize us right away. We will be dressed in period costume. So we're looking at anywhere from the 1840s, 1850s to early 1900s, 1901 to 1905. My character's costume happens to be from the 1904 period. I wear a top hat. I will be very much noticeable. It's a fun project, and it's an educational project as well. So people will see the characters, they will see the costumes, which will draw them in, and it has in the past when we had the bus tour. But it'll also invite them to stay and learn more about the people that developed this community, the La Crosse community.
We've heard a little bit about the Enduring Families Project and about, you know, the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance and what you guys are working on. And Ricardo, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what is the Immigration Task Force? I know you're new to the group, but just kind of what is the, you know, what's the purpose of your group?
Basically to make La Crosse a more welcoming community of people of different cultures and of immigrants. So, but to get back to the question that you were asking about, you know, how this come about, the city has a lot of different type of ethnic festivals, you know, and they're great festivals, and they kind of do them individually in different parts of the city. This is an opportunity for all of those cultures to come together in one park at one time and to do a program together. And also to people love food, so an opportunity to come and experience the different varieties of foods all in one location. And this hopefully will start to bring our communities closer together as we see each other and learn about each other and experience the different communities and learn. And we're going to have organizations under a tent that will have further information, as well as community organizations that support this project. So that's what we hope will be basically the takeaway message of that day. And we hope if it's successful, which I truly believe it will be, that it will be an annual event from there.
And Changchur, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency, the HCCA, does in the community for people who may not be familiar with it.
We have, that Hmong Cultural Center is a community-based center. Right now, we are offering social service, interpreting and translating. And sometimes we have an employment issue. We kind of work with the fellow Hmong community member in the community. And also, as in the Hmong culture, when somebody pass away, and it's a big event. So there is no facility in the community that can house that. So one of the function of that center is when a member of the Hmong community pass away, especially for funeral. So that center will have a multi-purpose. So we have a fully functional kitchen and all the room and things. So we can offer that for funeral purpose. That, and we also, you know, service, if people want to hold event in there, this is a community center. So then if you want to have a meeting or something, you know, certainly the community member, the community welcome to call the center. Yes, we are a nonprofit organization, so some of the things like this that you know, like teaching a Hmong language class, we offer a Hmong culture class. You know, people, if you want to know about Hmong, you know what, you can you know come and see and you know, and learn about it. And basically, like a couple of weeks ago, last month during June, we do the Hmong like a history in the community. We've been here in La Crosse County community for me, you know, since 1981 I've been living here. You know, and many things go through changing and, or transforming, you know, and our community are changing, and I think along with the larger community that the resource, and I think the Hmong Culture Center, one of the purposes is to offer a Hmong culture resource, so be available for the community, so we can, you know, utilizing the resource in it, so the Hmong can have a way of contribute a success or, you know, a culture value to the community, so everyone can benefit it, yeah. So through education program and you know, service, thing like this. So I think that's who we are.
That's Chang Chur Lee from the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency here with us today to talk about a multicultural celebration taking place in La Crosse this weekend called People Fest. Also joining us is Ricardo Acevedo from the Immigration Task Force, Daryl Ferguson from the Enduring Families Project, and John David from the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Daryl, you mentioned that you're from Chicago originally, and I wonder, as someone who moved to La Crosse, what your, I don't know, what your take is on how welcoming the community is for people of, you know, diverse backgrounds.
Wow. That's a very open-ended question.
It is.
I grew up in a predominantly African-American, my dad would say black, community. We were not stigmatized, as far as my father was concerned, with labels. He didn't like labels. So he didn't really get into who you were. His philosophy was, you're defined by what you do, what your actions are. Coming to La Crosse, I found that the community, it's a bit of a bubble, to be honest. There is a large portrayal, and this is not just within the city of La Crosse. It's not relegated to this city, but a lot of smaller cities, you'll find that there is a, from what I have seen, more of an isolated view of various cultures. As you pointed out, you have different cultures that are kind of isolated and don't really interact. I like this concept because it gets cultures together and it gets them to interact and work with each other and benefit from the positive part. We see on the news every day the negative things that happen. This person from this culture is portrayed as a bad influence or a bad person. We don't see the positive. We rarely see the good that people are doing. So coming from Chicago, coming from a background where education was focused for my family, I felt a little isolated. I did. I felt like an island unto myself because coming here, the focus is very one-dimensional and very monolithic, and I come from a very diverse background. My father was one who would say, learn as much as you can for as long as you can. If it goes until you're 15, then 15. If it goes until you're 50, then 50, 80, whatever. Never stop learning or trying to learn. So education was really pushed in our family. Some things you do well, some things you don't, but you keep trying to learn. So when I got here, I was somewhat disappointed. And I was disappointed in the sense that, one, there were not very many strong minority leaders and influences in the community. And two, the community, like communities around the country, focus more on smaller things. I have lived in probably no less than, I would say, lived and worked in no less than 8 or 9 other countries around the world. I've been to quite a few more than that, served in the military for quite some time. And seeing how things are done in other countries, seeing what people's reactions are and how they progress and how they develop and work with each other, it gave me a broader sense of what we can, could, or should be doing as opposed to what we are doing right now. Me personally, even though I know I have my shortcomings in some areas of education, I think we should be more focused on it than we are. So I would like to see us put more emphasis into academics. And I just don't think we do that. I think by doing that, from what I've seen in other parts of the world, you expose yourself to other cultures, to other environments, to other areas that you otherwise would not see if you were just looking at one particular area or one particular speciality.
Ricardo, I wonder what your thoughts are on this, too. Are you from the La Crosse area, first of all? And if you grew up here or if you moved here, what has your experience been like?
No, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. It was very diverse and rough. And I graduated from high school at 16. It wasn't because I was smart or double promoted or nothing. I went through and took as many classes as I could to get out of there as fast as I could. Because you basically took your life in your hands even going to the restrooms. And that with a city police station only a block away. So, but then after getting out of there and joining the military and traveling halfway around the world and coming back, you know, I realized that I don't have to live and die on the south side of Chicago. I can live anywhere I want. And I've lived in a number of Midwest cities. I actually moved down from Duluth, which kind of helped, because I think if you tell people that I moved down here from Duluth, it seems to have a different approach than moving from the south side of Chicago, you know, from a small community, you know, northern community, you know, up north, you know. And so it gave me a different perspective. I come from parents that were born in Mexico, immigrated to the United States. I was the first one born in this country, first one to graduate from high school, from college, joined the military at a very young age, ended up off the coast of Vietnam, ended up being a Vietnam vet, came back. And then, like I said, the focus of education, you know, my parents came to this country because they felt that it had more opportunities, and then it fell on us to be the best that we can and to achieve and to prosper in this country. And this country is truly the land of opportunities, and I truly believe that I'm fortunate to live here and be a part of this country. Again, traveling to other parts of the world, you know, people take for granted modern plumbing, you know, the food and a lot of things that we take for granted that in other parts of the country, or world, I should say, or even this country, for that matter, they don't have that. Growing up in Duluth, I got involved in a community, and I got involved in the school district, and I was on the Integration Desegregation Council and trying to close the gap between minority and majority students, and again, education, you know, the trying to get people to to be the best they can in school and give them that foundation so that they can be the best they can be as adults. And one of my friends, when he saw that I was involved in this, he kind of questioned me. He says, "Why are you doing that?" And I says, "Because I believe that I should do this. I should give back to the community. I've been very fortunate." And during the course of the discussion, I disclosed that I was from a Mexican descent. And he goes, "Oh, I didn't realize that." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then he says, "No, this changes our whole discussion, our whole relationship." And I said, "How?" He says, "I thought you were Italiano." I said, "No, I never said I never told you I was Italian." And then he says, "But I thought you were, and now you're not. And now I don't know if I can be your friend anymore." And he was serious. And I said, and I had known this gentleman for a number of years. I lived in Duluth for 7 years. And from that point on, our discussions got further and further apart, and the whole relationship was never the same. And so, you know, there's all kinds of little, my daughter was in special ed up there. I would go in there and talk to the school, and I would talk to them about the accommodations we needed, and I would tell them my story, and then somewhere along the dialogue, he would say, "Oh, that's not," because Spanish was my first language growing up in the house and before I went to school. And the principal's comment was something to the, "Oh, your English is quite good." I was like, "Where'd that come from?" You know, so that, I mean, the only person you can control is yourself. And so, you know, and educate as much as you can along the way. But again, you know, the way the president's always saying, and I'm not referring to the current one, but God bless America, I truly believe that.
Yeah, Daryl.
Well, Ricardo, where did you go to school? Bowen.
right down the street from CVS.
Chicago I went location. To CBS.
Oh, yeah. We're practically next-door neighbors.
We are.
High schools.
My first high school was Emil G. Hirsch High School, though. It's on the kind of the southwest side of Chicago. And this goes to events that are happening today in public schools. We had a discussion about school shootings. It's a serious issue. And the administration wanted to have the students get involved, especially after the one in February, about how they felt about school shootings, safety, the environment, whether or not the school was being made safe for the students and the students felt safe being there. And this goes to your question about how I feel about being here. Now, I work in Onalaska High School, and the students approached me and asked me, "Well, Mr. Ferguson, how do you feel about this? What do you think?" And they wanted an honest answer. They said, "We want you to tell us, quote, what you think personally." So I kind of shocked them. I said, "Personally, I think you're giving it too much attention. Because where I grew up, where I went to school, it was commonplace. It happened every day. There were no helicopters. There were no grief counselors. There were no people running out of the school screaming. There were no parents wailing. It happened. You moved on. My first high school, it happened. The principal announced after all the other things were cleaned up, he said, 'It's second hour, go to class.' That was it. And that was how our days in high school went. Needless to say, I didn't want to stay at that high school. But that was the kind of an environment that I and we grew up in. And I think it was sort of eye-opening to some of the students to understand and to realize that's why I said we kind of live in a bubble here, the students, because they don't realize that there are students, even today, who are living in this kind of an environment daily. And it's not being shown or exposed or given the national attention. And I think it's good that we are giving it attention now, but in the same light, I think we need to pay attention to all of it, not just one. And that's where I think this all-inclusive environment that we are getting to now, getting the Hmong culture. I did not know about how much is involved with the funeral. Our area experienced a recent death, and just seeing what's involved with that, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in and a lot to learn. And it's not just, you know, one thing. It's when you understand how the entire community comes together, you appreciate the involvement of not just the one family who's affected, but the entire Hmong family who supports that family. That touched me quite a bit. And knowing that I now have a fellow friend here who grew up basically right across the street from me, it's something. It takes that bubble and makes it a little bigger so that we get to see from our different perspectives, we have a lot in common.
How do you hope an event like People Fest will continue that throughout the year?
Throughout the year? I think that we need to just look not just at a major event. For example, in Chicago, you had initially when I was a kid, the very first one was Taste of Chicago. And everyone went to the Taste of Chicago because you had all of these vendors. You had people walking around with these huge turkey sticks. And, you know, all the different cultures were there. So you had Hispanic, you had Polish, you had Italian, you had German, you had Greek. They were all there. But it was only one time a year, and that was it. This is something that can be done year-round. It can be. The Families Project looks to get the participants and students at the various schools involved throughout the year. So we would go to the high schools, go to the various campuses, and do this kind of presentation with them, with the students, get the students involved, the teachers involved, the administration involved, so that everyone starts to learn more about not just the history of African Americans in this community, but the community itself.
Ricardo, I was just going to ask how you hope that this event might, spark some of these more conversations, more coming together throughout the year.
Well, this will be our first one, and then this is like a little baby step, and then hopefully next year we'll do it again, and it'll be even bigger. And then from there, you know, it'll start a dialogue, and we'll get to know more individuals from the different communities, and maybe we'll talk about something else later down the road. But, you know, just again, to give you a little bit more background, is in one of the communities I lived in was Springfield, Illinois, and during Labor Day weekend, they had this festival where all the different communities would come together, and they would have food. And they would have an outdoor pavilion, and every hour they would rotate entertainment. So you had the Greeks, the Italians, the Black community, the Hispanic community, the Asian community, you know, just everybody. And it was an opportunity to show their color, their culture, educate the public, and it was a 3-day weekend festival in Springfield, Illinois, In Googling whether or not communities are still doing this, I believe Kansas City does this, and it's a very big one over there too. So that's kind of some of the ideas that came to this. And now at this event, we're going to have entertainment almost every hour throughout the day. And It's going to show color, and it's going to show youth, and it's going to be education, and so it's going to be a good show. Come on down.
Ricardo Acevedo from the Immigration Task Force is here with us today to talk about People Fest, a celebration of cultures taking place this weekend in La Crosse to promote a more welcoming community. Also joining us are Daryl Ferguson from the Enduring Families Project, Chongchur Lee from the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency, and John David from the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Local organizations are coming together this week to celebrate the different cultures that make up the La Crosse community. People Fest will feature food, music, and other entertainment in Riverside Park, but organizers hope the event will also help residents learn about and appreciate the different races and ethnicities in the area. Joining us now to talk about People Fest are John David, director of the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance, Daryl Ferguson, a member of the Enduring Families Project, Ricardo Acevedo, a member of the Immigration Task Force, and Chongchur Lee, board advisor for the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency. John, do you think the La Crosse area does a good job of celebrating the diversity in our community?
I don't know about that. I've only been in contact, only having been here now 10 years, I've been lucky to be in contact with different groups that want to do that more. So I don't have the history in this town to know, I guess, to be the best person to speak to that. I can say some of the conversations we've just recently have had today is that I originally come from a small town in Wisconsin, smaller than this, Potosi and Tennyson, Wisconsin, where, like La Crosse, the last I saw, La Crosse identifies as 91% white. And we've been talking about things of bubbles and military service to country that helps burst bubbles or widen those out. And I just wanted to say, for me, the thing it was, Taste of Chicago was something that inspired me to be a part of this idea for People Fest also. But it was really my time on a Native American reservation in Arizona, along 62 miles of Mexico border, where for over 5 years, you know, working with and living with people where, like Ricardo says, there's not plumbing and everything else, and where that's the first world that people live in, not in this predominantly white community that we're in now. So I've appreciated. And my hope for People Fest is, you know, towards your question, is that we find out in these conversations that can happen at the fest and with each other and talking about history, that bubble widens or one bubble joins another, you know, so that we can find out more. Because that's what I'm hearing about La Crosse is it wants to be a welcoming community. It's got so many positive things going for it. How at its scale and size it accomplishes that, I hope is People Fest. I hope is people like the people here today in this room, you know, that are sharing those things so that we get to have a more inclusive community that understands each other better.
Chongchur, do you think the La Crosse area does a good job of celebrating its diversity? I know you've lived here for a number of years.
Well, I think we are facing the same, asking the same question. Facing the same situation. There are many things good happening in the community. The community, you know, when we came here as a refugee, see them doing for us, the Hmong coming here, we are not like you apply for a passport or visa and you just come, you know, because of the war. And one day you're here, next day you just pack and go. There is no, you're not prepared. You're not going to class, or you're not going to do this, or how to use this, how to do this. It's just like overnight, you're here. Next day, you're over there. And totally kind of culture shock. And we came here, we have to slowly, you know, get into learning A, B, C. It's kind of a very challenging obstacle. You have to go through all this. And this is a life challenge. You know, but the key thing, I think we are facing, taking this very similar approach is opportunity, education. That's the thing that's going to keep us moving forward. You know, utilizing this opportunity, and that's how we become and change, because with the forces there, the larger community changing and society changing so fast, so quick, you know, that we have no choice. But, you know, it for us, it's like one day you live in like 1800 and suddenly you move to 1960, 1970. This is like 100 years of a gap in there. You just sometimes just like you're watching a movie. One day you're here, and then you're the next day. So for us, it's kind of challenging. But I think the community is a very welcoming place. We capitalize the opportunity for education, like the WTC, and now the university, high school, those things. So, and the job opportunity, raising a family here, I think now, and those are the key things. But I just want to add that for celebrating the diversity, I think we do not enough, or we overdo it. But I think one thing is the thing that we often not really look at the positive thing. We kind of do less often. We talk about how do you feel then, but we have to look at more deeper into that layer, that what kind of contribution that this section of people contribute to the society. For example, like in the early 80s, 90s, you know, almost 90% of the Hmong community here depend on public assistance. But now it's down to like maybe 5-10%, really minimal. So over the years, big change. And when you look at the community, mainly in the 80s, 90s, most of the Hmong community live in the city of La Crosse. And later on now, the Hmong's moving to Alaska, Holman, you know, and quite a community. And we employer, and we also, you know, become like a owning property, owning home. So we become, like American dream. Yeah, you know, being a taxpayer and you have your own home, and that's the thing that go through. And I think one thing is we kind of not really talking about the success of the people, how the people make a difference, how do you survive, how do you make a difference community. For example, like me, you know, having a chance to move to La Crosse, I graduated from Logan in 1984, I attended UWL, yeah. I have a chemistry degree, yeah. You know, worked for Heinemann for a few years. And now, you know, changing to become an entrepreneur. Yeah. That's in a Mongo Negro restaurant. That's who I am now, you know. And this is the process thing. I think within the community here, this is the thing that we are often not really talking about, how the people change, you know. So oftentimes, all this front page paper, those are the thing, news, you know, this is the kind of overshadow of success. So the negative thing, you know, I think that. For me, I think this is the thing that we need to talking is let people, you know, let each, you know, culture, our diversity come. We can share our success and our disappointment and success. I think we all face the same challenge, and we need everyone to hear this, you know. And not everyone becomes very successful, but at least you reach some point in your lifetime that you make a difference to the community. And I think that's the key thing. I think the next time we should be talking about some of the things, like, you know, from here today, what's the life change over the year? How we overcome this? And this is the thing that I think, you know, we also change the community too. You know, our children have become a lot more Americanized. I think as a parents for us now, our generation, it's a good thing that we come together and let's leave a legacy, something our children can learn from it. And so they can value things. I think that's the family value. That, you know, if we leave something good that our children can utilize. I think that's the key thing. So I think People Fest event like this, will create energy, create even an environment where our future generation, I think for the whole community, will come and see, and it's this the thing that we need for the community. It's this the thing that we need to, you know, be valuable and promote it, and for the community, to everyone to have. So that's how I feel. So.
Daryl, you also mentioned this idea of, you know, the media portraying one version, but, you know, there's an untold story there, right? And I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue that, you know, Chung Chur brings up of all the good things, you know, that minority groups in our community, you know, have experienced and accomplished and that maybe don't get talked about.
Okay, I'm going to go to a very odd place.
Okay.
Shrek.
Please explain.
He said, when he was talking to Donkey, he said, I'm like an onion. There are layers. If you look at the various individuals, like he said, he's a chemist. He graduated. He went to college. He went to university. He had a chemistry degree. He's done all of these things. Everyone, when people look at us initially, they see this, especially if we are the marginalized group. Ricardo, when he had a friend who said, I can't talk to you anymore because I thought you were Italian, and now I find out that you're Mexican, he made his entire perception of him based on his appearance and not who he was as a person. And that's what I think my father meant when he said, let your deeds and your actions define you. And let what you do as a person define you. So when I went to school and when I went to work out here, students looked at me and they saw this. And they saw, in fact, there are quite a few teachers who have told me, well, you're just a para. A paraprofessional is a person who works with, they're kind of in the middle. They're kind of that marginalized group at times. Because they are the minority. They're not a teacher. They're not an administrator. They kind of work with students. And students kind of look at them as, well, you know, you're just a para. You don't really matter. Teachers kind of, well, okay, yeah, you're there. And they don't realize what paraprofessionals bring to the table. Some have bachelor's degrees. Some have master's. Some have gone to school and taught and gotten out of the teaching profession for whatever reason, and then decided to come back, but not to come back as a teacher because there's a lot involved with being a teacher, and just decided that this was a better route for them. Two situations, identical, in a sense. One, I was in Germany, and there were some boys who were giving me a hard time. And they were talking and talking and talking about me. And I let them go for a while. And then one of them says something really offensive. So I turned around and I told him in German that I didn't like what he was saying. And he just kind of looked. His eyes got big. And it's shocking when someone turns around who's not your culture, who's not your background, who's not from your environment and history and communicates with you. And I think a lot of people take that for granted. When I got here, there was one student, and he in particular was proud of his German heritage. And my parents were German, and my grandparents came here from Germany, and we have a lot of German people. In our family, I said, well, do you speak German? The student said, like, ich muss mit dir Deutsch sprechen vielleicht. And he looked at me and he said, I don't speak German. I said, warum nicht? Du hast gesagt, dass du Deutsch lernen und alles? And he said, no, my parents and grandparents. I said, but you're so proud of your German heritage. Embrace it. And he said, well, I didn't know you knew that. I said, you can't make assumptions on people just by what you see. Get to know them. Talk to them. Find out more about them before you assume that that's who and how they are.
I've heard all of you mention the importance of education to looking to the future of addressing these issues. Ricardo, I wonder if you could explain how you see education, helping to address, these issues in our community.
I think education is a great equalizer. It's the one thing that, if everybody learns and excels in that, that gives all kids of all parts of the world an opportunity to be a part of a society and to contribute as an equal member of society. And education is really, really important. And again, the volunteer work I was doing up in Duluth with the Desegregation Council, I made opportunities for people to go to school, another thing I like to do is I like to recruit. Okay, so the school district would have me help recruit teachers of color for the school district. Duluth is similar to La Crosse, and small minority populations, whereas people will look at La Crosse and they'll say, "Oh, there is no diversity in La Crosse," and I say, "Well, it depends through what eyes you're looking at and where you're looking, because it is a very diverse community, much more than people think." And so one day I was going across town for a Knights of Columbus meeting, and I stopped at a Hardee's restaurant, and there was a lady working behind the counter, and I asked her, I says, "Excuse my boldness, but what is it you want to do for a living?" She says, "I want to be a teacher. I want to be a Spanish teacher." And I says, "Okay, but I don't have the money." And I says, "Well, if you can take a break right now, I would love to talk to you, because there's this teacher of color program that will help pay your undergraduate degree. And then once you get your undergraduate degree and work for the Duluth schools for two, three years, we will also help pay and give you an education opportunity to get your master's and your PhD." And she's like, "Who are you? I'm going on break." And she did sit down with me. She did apply for that, did get her undergraduate degree, became a Spanish teacher for Duluth Public Schools. It just wouldn't have happened otherwise. Also, while I was there, we through that same program, we had a Hispanic teacher there go and get her master's and her PhD and became the first Hispanic vice principal in the history of the school district. So, again, the importance of education, the opportunities for it to help be an equalizer.
John, I wanted to ask you, this group has very purposely decided not to make this a political event and didn't want to talk about politics today. And I wonder if you could talk about why that is.
I know that what's motivated everybody here is the positive things that we're talking about. And if I could, real quick, I can say whether people come from a place of faith or not, I know from the Jewish teachings, of all the commandments, more than 10, one of them is you shall treat the alien among you as the resident. For that people came, from bondage in Egypt, and that was a commandment, one of over 500. And in the Christian teachings, it's one of the ways to enter the kingdom is you must welcome the stranger. And they didn't have the word immigrant back then. It was there are always different people, always people that are going to be marginalized, not part of the greater group. And I'm just appreciating that when we get to know each other. I think many times there is this mental economics of poverty, that there's a fear that maybe subliminal. I'm no philosopher, but it might be that if we have a more inclusive community, what might I lose? Or just, what's not familiar to me? We gravitate to what we know. And so we didn't want to exclude anybody with anything that could be perceived political or negative or reactionary. It was simply from coming from a good place to come together. And the best way to do that is offer a party, you know, offer some ways to learn each other through food, like Taste of Chicago we talked about, and that's what we have today, and through performances, through the beauty, through the art, through the music, learning history through theater, like the Enduring Families Project. So you'll see, as Ricardo mentioned, we have entertainment throughout the day, and really looking forward to, as I've learned about these people here today, all of us can have that opportunity at the information booths and just by taking part in that day.
We've been talking with John David from the Compassionate Community Faith Alliance, Daryl Ferguson from the Enduring Families Project, Ricardo Acevedo from the Immigration Task Force, and Chongchur Lee from the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency about People Fest, a multicultural celebration taking place in La Crosse's Riverside Park this weekend. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.